A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News. Listen on the KSL News Radio app.
Brought to you by PC Laptops.
And in your car at 102.7 FM.
It's 5:30 at KSL. Good afternoon. I'm Maria Chalais in for Jeff Kaplan. Blue skies and 86 degrees. KSL's top story is developing news. We continue following the disappearance of Gabby Petito. Right now, police in Northport, Florida say they are speaking with the Laundrie family at their request, but police are not speaking to Brian. Protesters continue to chant outside the home.
Gabby! Where is Gabby?
Police are now outside the home, pushing the people on the front lawn of the Laundrie home off. We've learned within the hour the police in Grand County say Petito's disappearance has nothing to do with the murders of newlywed couple Kylan Schulte and Crystal Turner. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
In a one-line statement, the Grand County Sheriff's Office in Moab, Utah says it has now determined the Gabby Petito missing persons case is not related to a double murder of two women around the same time Petito and her fiancé were in the area. The search for Petito is nationwide. She was last seen in Utah, and she called her mom saying she and her fiancé were in Wyoming before she disappeared in August. Her fiancé returned to his parents' home in Florida without her. He won't talk to police. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Officials in Teton County, Wyoming, were supposed to hold an update about 90 minutes ago, but they canceled just minutes before we heard that Northport police entered the Laundrie house. Breaking news on KSL News Radio. Police in Northport, Florida are now searching a car at the Laundrie family home. Local news outlets report the silver Ford Mustang has been in the driveway for a few days. We will keep you updated on the very latest. While the Laundrie family continues to be interviewed, we did hear from Brian's sister earlier today. Cassie Laundrie spoke exclusively to ABC News and talked about an argument between the couple reported to Moab police on August 12th.
It looked typical of both of them. They, whenever they'd fight, they would take a little break and come back and be fine, because that's what you do in a couple.
Cassie says she's not spoken to her brother and hopes that Gabby comes home safely. Two Salt Lake City police officers who shot a man wielding a knife in Pioneer Park in June were found to be justified in their actions today. And newly released evidence shows a suspect wasn't even supposed to be in the country that day. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has details.
While officers were inspecting the suspect, Rezek Yeha, they reportedly found an airline ticket to the country of Chad that left 2 days before the shooting. And they believe Yeha was supposed to be on that flight, but he missed it. Plus, more details are being released about the stabbing that led to the shooting. Salt Lake County DA Sim Gill says Yeha became enraged after a woman asked him for a lighter. He reportedly swore at her, saying, "This isn't a 7-Eleven," then stabbed her multiple times.
The DA says the body camera footage clearly shows the suspect sprinting at an officer with a knife, and that makes the deadly force reasonable. KSL's top national stories this hour. Pentagon is apologizing after its drone strike in Kabul killed 10 civilians, 7 children, and 3 adults instead of ISIS terrorists that it had targeted. ABC's Andy Field has the latest from Washington.
The Pentagon making a painful admission.
I am now convinced that as many as 10 civilians, including up to 7 children, were tragically killed in that strike.
CENTCOM Commander General Frank McKenzie explaining how multiple intelligence sources led the U.S. to target what it thought was an ISIS terrorist vehicle, and how the U.S. acted faster than normal due to the increased threat to U.S. forces evacuating Kabul. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
The U.S. is considering making reparations to the Afghan families. Capitol Police say they expect a safe event even as they prepare for violence at a rally at the U.S. Capitol tomorrow. The planned rally is by former President Trump supporters who are angry about the people arrested during and after the January 6th violence on Capitol Hill. Here's ABC News congressional correspondent Rachel Scott.
There has been a numerous amount of threats over the last couple of months since January 6th, just weeks ago. Another case where you had someone in their car claiming to have a bomb. There is a heightened sense of security here. We know as of right now that there are no Republican members of Congress that do plan to attend this rally as of right now. But I can tell you there is quite a fear and people are on edge here.
Hundreds of people have been arrested since January 6th, including a number of Utahns. Meantime, the Pentagon has approved a request from Capitol Police to provide 100 D.C. National Guardsmen at the nation's capital this weekend. The National Guard troops will be stationed nearby, only deployed at the request of the Capitol Police. The Bureau of Land Management is returning its headquarters to Washington, D.C. Under the Trump administration, the BLM relocated to Grand Junction, Colorado, just a year ago. Critics said the decision would drive out career officials. The administration said it would have put officials close to the land that they actually managed. The Biden administration reported earlier this year that of the 328 employees in the D.C. office before last year, only 41 agreed to move to Grand Junction.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.